Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. It's international time, everybody. My favourite. And my name is Marcus Speller, and Luke Moore's my favourite, too.
I'm enjoying it.
Jim Campbell's another favourite.
Oh, thank you. Hello.
And Pete Donaldson's here.
I enjoy your excitement.
Hello, everybody.
So dismissive, Donaldson.
What?
Already. Poor foot to start off on.
I was saying I was enjoying his enthusiasm.
It was like an uncle. It was like, oh, yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. I'm having a lovely Christmas.
To be fair, I did.
All my friends are dead.
You can go home soon, Pete.
How old is your uncle?
Really old.
Yeah.
Pete's old uncle. I'm an uncle now.
My God.
A sprightly and youthful
it's
one.
It's like word association. You can almost see the neurons firing.
Genuinely, when Marcus was talking about international break time, I was thinking about the mid-80s advert for Starfruit, and I was singing the song in my head, so that's why I got confused.
Well, give us a rendition,
do you mean
then.
Opal Fruit?
No. Starfruit, starfruit, extra large fruit pieces, starfruit. It was a tin can with a pull on it, and it would have an individual portion of really bad fruit and sugared water.
Is this our timeline or Pete's timeline?
Sorry, Marcus,
will
can
we
go out as well? Can I go outside as well?
Please.
Starfruit.
In fact, all of you, just leave. I think I've got this.
He had extra large fruity pieces. Didn't say fruit pieces, fruity pieces.
So what I thought you'd done is confuse Starburst with opal fruits.
I would never do that.
You wouldn't. That's true. To be fair to you, Pete, it's very unlikely.
I'm a frutella man.
You wouldn't fall down that trap.
No. I remember the frutella advert.
What was that?
To the melody of "I'm Too Sexy" by Right Said Fred. Remember that?
I think that was "I'm Too Juicy." Right.
Yeah,
"I'm Too Juicy."
Who remembers the Chewits Monster?
Yeah.
Oh. Can I just say that Uncle Pete sounds inherently creepy?
Yeah,
Uncle Peter is the
especially when you know
Bob character, isn't he?
Yeah,
the guy with the big afro.
What about Uncle David Moyes?
Yeah, is he a vuncular? Not really.
He was once upon a time.
He's the light's gone from behind his eyes. In many ways,
I think it's been switched back on.
Yeah,
is it
okay.
Not?
The ghost of Uncle's past.
Yeah, Moyes described his own appointment at West Ham as a good gamble.
Yeah, he would say that, wouldn't he?
It's a good gamble.
It's still not entirely positive, is it?
Yeah, he's still referring
still
to...
still an element of doubt in there.
Yeah, he's still referring to himself as a gamble. So, I think I'm worth a punt.
Yeah. But based on Monday's show, where we talked about the possibility of him being hired and the fact that Slaven Bilic had been relieved of his duties,
yes.
We did see a little bit of a backlash, not against us, but against the negativity surrounding wee Davy Moyes in general.
That will always happen, though, isn't it? Everyone's contrary.
But are we being a touch unfair on the Scotsman? And I'm just asking that, just putting it out there.
I know.
Okay, fine.
Well, his last two jobs has dictated that he couldn't motivate a squad, etc. So I think he might have a good couple of games and then it might all fall away.
Jim, as a man who described him as a manager who takes teams of the living to the land of the dead.
Well, you mean the biggest culprit?
Yeah. Are you going to, in his ferry boat, row back a bit from that?
Well, to be fair to him, that Sunderland team would have floated there anyway at some point.
They wouldn't have won the National League.
No, Jim, floated indicates a direction.
No. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, they'd drifted.
They'd have drifted and probably...
No, they would have...
Sort of bunched into one mass, like that massive like plastic island in the sea,
fatberg floating through the nation's sewers.
They would have sunk on their way to the dead, and then they would have been washed up on the shore.
Sunderland's motto is the flotsam and jetsam of the football world. So, Jim, but do you think we're being a bit negative?
I think possibly we are, because this West Ham squad is a lot better than that Sunderland squad. Moyes did have a really tough job there. And if you look at some of the players there, they should be doing a lot better. I mean, the first thing, you know, Moyes has been saying, you know, basically if you don't run, like, you're out, which is fair enough, isn't it? So, the not running thing is like a tennis player refusing to use a racket. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just absolutely absurd.
You're making it hard for yourself for no reason.
Yeah, but they might have the bare 11 for the next game, though.
You what, sorry?
If they're not going to run, if they're not going to play, if they don't run, he might just have the bare 11 for the next
game.
Well,
quite, absolutely.
David Moyes is bringing a whole squad of bears in.
So, yeah, he's going to play a bare 11.
I'd love to see that. Yeah. That'd be the West Ham way, wouldn't it? A lot of Skins. Aggression in that. Yeah, but, I think, you know, there are players like Winston Reid who's better than we've seen there. Aaron Cresswell's a good player. You've got experience from players like Zabaleta and Arnautovic. You've got a little bit of spark with Lanzini and Chicharito, you can expect more from.
It's
possible that he could turn this around.
When you list those players, you think, yeah, he is right when he was saying that he's got a better squad at his disposal. But if you think of the last few jobs, the Man United job was just too big for him. He had to try and follow Sir Alex Ferguson. Didn't do it very well, of course, but then we know what happened there. And now with Mourinho, they look like they're going to challenge for the league, or at least have a good go at it. Real Sociedad didn't quite work out. It was a bit of a tricky one, but it was enjoyable to see him on the continent, of course.
Getting his
and
crisps.
Sunderland was Sunderland. Yeah. So is it a bit unwarranted sometimes?
On the players as well. You can't really not mention Andy Carroll. Now, we know all about Andy Carroll and what he brings, but one of their best performances of the season was their win against Huddersfield, and Andy Carroll was good in that game. So it may well be that I personally think the Bilic was just tactically inept and no idea what he was doing. That would be my assessment of it. But David Moyes has probably got a wee bit more experience, as you know, he's got so many games under his belt that he probably won't be shy in just turning West Ham back into a team who know what they're good at.
Yeah.
And that might mean they can escape what looks pretty likely at the moment, which is relegation. So I think we probably were a little bit harsh, but on the other hand, it's funny, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, Moyes said, I think I want to be more aggressive now.
Okay.
So
that is worrying, really, because he wasn't really an unaggressive bloke.
There'll be a lot of slaps. Yeah, an awful lot of slaps. He said he's going back to being David Moyes at Preston, when players were probably crying at the work.
It's a visceral image, isn't it?
Indeed,
the West Ham squad crying on the pitch.
I want to be more aggressive, and when I was like that before, my players were crying. It's like, oh, dear.
It's a way to shed a few pounds, though, isn't it?
Well, that's
lose
true.
Weight through tears.
I mean, there is a new regime in town. There's no doubt about that. David Gold tweeted a message asking all West Ham fans to get behind Moyes and the team to help push them up the table to safety, and ended by saying, "Together, I believe we can achieve our dreams, DG." And I thought, what kind of dreams are 17th?
No.
Yeah.
But then I suppose at the moment...
But there are plenty of teams who would dream of coming 17th in the Premier League.
Yeah, there are, but West Ham shouldn't be one of them.
No, but I think that there's every chance that he'll get them out of this. He was asked about the Vicky Sparks controversy, and obviously Karen Brady wrote a column criticising him about that around the time, and he was asked about that, and Moyes said, "I've had two or three conversations with Karen. They've been very good. I've actually quite enjoyed listening to her, so hopefully we can have a good relationship."
Wow.
So lesson learned.
Yeah. Just...
But the best ever for that.
The unreconstructed man.
The best ever for that was Mike Newell. Do you remember Mike Newell when he got busted for that? Have I talked about this on the show?
Yeah, what was it he said again?
So he was. I think I'm right in saying, I don't want to get him in any trouble, or get myself in any trouble, more importantly. He was in trouble for moaning about a female official.
Mm.
And then he was asked to come out and apologise for it.
Mm.
And his apology ended up being something along the lines of,
it was just banter.
No, it was worse than that. It was like, oh, you know, well, you know, and he got himself in a bit of a tizz about it. Well, it might sound sexist, but, you know, I am sexist. No, that's the opposite of what you're supposed to be saying.
It's nice to have a bit of truth, though.
The truth
will set you free,
it's
Peter.
It's just older men going, oh, yeah, it's because I'm a product of my time. Don't do that anymore. Mm.
Yeah,
stop doing it.
Here's the direct quote, so I'm not going to get us in trouble for libel.
Yep.
She shouldn't be here. I know that sounds sexist, but I am sexist.
Wow.
What a Champions League hat trick, though.
Can't argue with that. You can't take that away from him, can you?
Peter, don't take that away from him.
Take that away from him.
Right.
But going back to West Ham... I guess what you can say is they've done it early enough to be able to make a difference.
Yep.
They've got a transfer window coming up in January, which they've already implied that he might be able to spend. We know they've got a great track record in bringing strikers into the club, so that'll be exciting.
But it's not that bad.
What, 33 strikers they bought in?
Yeah, one or two of them have been right.
Wow. I mean, even if that's true, which I'm not sure it is, anyway, that's still a very low hit rate, yeah, isn't it? And we've all seen what Simone Zaza can do these days.
Absolutely.
But
right.
West Ham are now 9-4 with Bet365 to be relegated, and so £10 will return £32.50, including stake, should they drop through that trapdoor.
Indeed. Ooh. Right. Well, let's get to international football then.
The real stuff.
Yeah. And Andy
how
Carroll...
excited are you? Before you get into it, how excited are you, Marcus?
I have to be honest. But
can we have a before you saw the squad and then after you saw the squad, please, yeah, reading?
They are different emotions.
But there's some good playoff games.
There are some good playoff games, yeah, because it's international football. It's not England international football break. Remember
it is for
that.
You, Marcus. Yeah.
No, I said this specifically last time, Pete. So you can enjoy the whole plethora of international
because
football.
Because Marcus is just, yeah, watching DVDs of England games anyway.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Which is why international break is not a break for me.
I posted on the Facebook page today, what are you looking forward to this weekend? Are you looking forward to a big England win?
Yeah.
And like the first 10 comments were like, oh, spellers on the Facebook.
you support England, don't you? You're that kid from school.
Yeah, I have to say, I saw...
I support my legs because they support me.
I saw the England squad and I thought, ooh...
Who are they?
there's a lot of bears in here.
Oh, I thought I recognise at least half of them. God,
it looks like the sort of squad you might get like after Armageddon.
Yeah.
When there's barely anyone left.
But there's been like a black death in Europe.
Yeah.
When Stalin's son had to reconstruct the hockey team, the ice hockey team.
I thought he is playing the under-17s. Yeah. I was only joking, Gareth. Yeah. Blimey, yeah. England are a bit threadbare, aren't they?
That is kind.
But there's a situation here where...
Go on, Luke, pick me up.
Well, no, clearly you're implying, at least, about this situation where a number of players have pulled out injured.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, Harry Kane and Harry Winks are genuinely injured.
Yeah.
And there's a chance they won't play against Arsenal the following week, which at the first glance looks ridiculous. Oh, all of a sudden they've pulled out ahead of a big North London derby. But apparently, even according to Southgate, they might not be even fit for Arsenal. So,
yeah.
So those are... I haven't seen the situation with... I don't know the situation with Ali. I don't know the situation with Delph, Sterling or Henderson. But do you think that they actually are injured, all those players?
Well, Southgate came out and said that, no, they are injured. And he said, look, this is not a club versus country thing, and actually put that to bed.
Yeah. Right, okay.
And well, Southgate Gareth said he's seen the scan.
Right.
On Harry Kane.
No, he's seen a scan.
He's seen a scan.
Whose scan it was, we don't know.
Yeah. So, back
it's
in
one
the day,
of Gary Mabbott's old scans.
Back in the day, so, yeah.
It says you have diabetes.
Back in the day, people thought they'd seen Diego Maradona's urine. In it.
Yeah, quite. Indeed. There's something entirely different.
There's nothing to suggest any fraud's going on. Let's make that clear.
Let's make that very clear.
It's such a shame, though, the players that have pulled out.
It
because,
is.
You know, the form players that you actually want to see take on Germany and Brazil are Harry Kane, Raheem Sterling, and Dele Alli in particular.
And Harry Winks.
Harry Winks is the most exciting new inclusion, yeah, and the other sort of quite curious one would be Fabian Delph. So, you know, like, apart from Jordan Henderson missing, they're all sort of people that you'd particularly be excited to see.
And I also think, in addition
to... No offence to him.
You can give him some offence if you want.
Well, it's up to him, really, isn't
yeah,
it?
It's up to him if he takes it. I also think, in addition to that, Jim, that, you know, we can play Germany, we can play Brazil in friendlies, and what the inevitable comeback will be, whatever the result, whether we win 3-0 or get whooped 3-0, it'll be Germany and Brazil do it when it counts. They don't take it seriously unless it's a competition, unless it's a big competitive game. Now, I understand that. My response to that would be, well, let's batter them then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go out. I would like to see the best England team we can put out in this sort of, at the stage of the cycle we're in ahead of the World Cup. We've already qualified easily. Play the best team we can. Let's see what our idea Southgate's got, what he's going to do. Give him a little bit of a hint as to what he's going to do next summer and give him a battering.
Absolutely.
If Germany aren't going to take it seriously and half their players aren't going to play, let's beat them 4-0.
Yeah. And what better motivation should there be for an England international playing Germany or Brazil at Wembley? They should go out there with no fear, just have fun, enjoy it, and sort of like, just, you know, pinch yourself. Do you know what I mean? When you were kicking the ball around your back garden when you were 7, you know, you'd dream of that sort of thing.
And these days, Jim, as well, it's important for the England players themselves because compared to years gone past, it's hard to probably name more than 3 or 4 definites in that England first 11.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's up for grabs.
I'd love Southgate pre-match to go, we're going to go out there and batter them.
Why not?
Yeah. No, but it would be brilliant. It would be such a change of gear.
What would happen is they'd go out there to batter them, they'd lose 2-1 and get about 6 hamstring injuries. Yeah. That's what would happen.
Or Southgate would mess it up during the minute silence. Like, yeah. Gareth!
We lose on penalties. The only sort of team news we have at the moment, at the time of recording, of course, is that Jack Butland may start.
Well, I think that's a must. I think they need to settle on a keeper now.
Definitely. I think we've been talking about that for a while with old Jackie B. Mm. And then a possible start, according to some sources, for Ruben Loftus-Cheek, which would be quite amazing for him.
Yeah,
really.
I think that's from the Lions boss's mouth itself, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that is an interesting one. Especially, I mean, he was drafted in, wasn't he?
Yes.
Through injury. So I guess he's got a particular style in mind, and I suppose he's playing where Henderson would have played.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he wants two box-to-box midfielders or two midfielders in the centre of the pitch who have got fitness, who can run around and chase the ball, which is inevitably what...
Chase the Germans.
And the Brazilians. Of course, this clearly is set up for Southgate to play a 3-4-3 or a 3-5-2. When you look at the squad with the three keepers, 10 defenders, 6 midfielders and 3 strikers. Now, I know some of the strikers, for example, Rashford, could play on the wing. So, again, there's a little bit of jiggery-pokery there. But 10 defenders is...
So play a 10-6-3, then.
I think it could be an 8-1-1. You know.
I think Loftus-Cheek start, from what I've seen, there'll be people out there who've seen a lot more of him than I have, but from what I've seen, started the season very well. But obviously, they kept getting beaten.
Yeah, that's right.
But he was probably one of their standout players. And he's only 21, isn't he? So yeah. it's a chance for him to sort of stake a claim. Mm. And you know, why not? I mean, it's got to. We have to foster a environment here where if he's going to play in the same position as another midfield player in that squad who's pulled out, or another midfield player who would regularly play there, and he's been given a chance, and he takes that chance, he has to know that if he takes that chance, he's going to be considered.
Well, absolutely.
That's how the dynamic should absolutely work.
Well, of course.
That's what Southgate has been saying as well the whole time. And actually, you know, including Ashley Young, sort of, is him sticking to his guns on that. Players that are playing and are in form are going to get in the squad.
And he said the same thing about Wilshere. I don't know how you get in the England squad without being in the Arsenal team. Yeah. So fair enough, yeah. I mean, if he's going to do that...
Unless you don't play for Arsenal, we should clarify.
Yeah, quite.
Sturridge, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Smalling and Defoe are the ones who have also, most notably, not made the squad. And you think to yourself, well, Sturridge will feel pretty gutted. I mean, the three registered forwards are Tammy Abraham, who on the season so far has maybe merited that. Marcus Rashford, of course, and Jamie Vardy.
Yeah.
And if you Sturridge, you think, well, come on, but Southgate has been clear. Now, he's sticking to that at the moment. Let's see when the summer comes around. If he does that, that will be very interesting. But Southgate has managed England under 21s, I think it was, you know, and certainly been involved in the national team set up for longer. So his priorities are slightly different, I think, with regards to being an England manager. He's not just come straight from club football into the international setup, so he is sticking to that. But Ashley Young is an interesting one. You know, it's 4 years, I think, since he'd
be the oldest player in the squad, wouldn't he?
Yeah, but as Ashley Young fairly said himself, he's 32, oldest member of the squad. And Ashley Young fairly pointed out, he said, "Well, all the recent Manchester United managers have seen something in me because they have picked him, and he is quite a functional player."
He also said in that same conversation that he'd played under three different managers at Man United.
That's right.
Forgetting one of them, which perhaps we can assume that's Davy Moyes.
Okay,
I don't know.
Did he also say Anna Pigeon wants shit in my mouth?
Yeah, I
probably
remember that.
Did
Ashley Young play number 10 for England in Euro 2012?
He was certainly involved in Euro 2012. But he was a good player back then.
I think you might be
still
right.
Still depressing.
But he was one of those, you know, like in 2002, everyone was like, you know, really excited about Kieran Dyer playing on the left. It's one of those. He was a good player.
Was it ahead of 2010 where we all lost our minds because we wanted Gareth Barry back so bad?
That sounds about right.
I'll tell you what.
That's the missing part of the puzzle.
Yeah, we focus on a player that's not available. Well, if we had him, Gareth Barry. I love Gareth Barry. He's been a great servant. You'll not find a better Premier League servant than Gareth Barry. But he's always going to be Gareth Barry.
Yeah, but now we've got Jack Cork.
We have.
Which some will say very much deserved, certainly Burnley fans. He's had a good season, but 28 getting the first call. Great for him.
He's open, he doesn't bottle it.
Nice.
Thanks.
Yeah. I'm giving you that.
Yeah. Thanks.
And if he gets a chance to shoot, he should have a pop.
Who are some of the German players that we're going to be coming up against, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. We can talk about some of these players, and I think Ashley Young, you know, Man United manager, seen a bit of him. And
do you know what I'm going to do? Give me a list of the German names, and I'll give you a reason why England shouldn't be scared of them.
Yeah, well, these are a handful of names from the Germany squad to put England's squad in perspective. Ike Gundogan.
Can't get in the City team. Carry on, next.
Under Southgate, wouldn't be in the side. Emre Can.
Plays in front of the back four for a Liverpool side that have already conceded 17 goals this season.
Tony Kroos.
Was recently in a team beaten by Spurs.
Also ill.
I think.
Oh, is he?
Apparently so.
He's not got the stomach for it, Jim.
No, exactly.
Sammy Khedira
plays for a team that struggled to beat Benevento, the worst team in Serie A history last week.
But they did beat him.
Struggled.
And he's won the World Cup.
Next.
Mesut Ozil. World Cup finalist, goal scorer, Mario Götze.
Bombed out of Bayern Munich and once got a stiffy in public.
Indeed.
Look it up. You've seen it, Jim, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, you don't even have to specifically look it up. Just Google him.
Yeah.
I think Peter Beagrie got one as well.
There we go. He's not the German squad, though, is
he?
No.
Next. Motorbike.
Manchester City starlet Leroy Sané.
Okay, I genuinely can't think of a bad thing about him.
Mats Hummels.
Played in a 2-0 defeat to Hoffenheim recently in September.
Okay.
And looked bad.
Jerome Boateng.
Couldn't even cut it at Man City.
Also injured.
Yeah. All right, I don't have to worry about him. And Joshua Kimmich.
Also played in that 2-0 defeat to Hoffenheim. So
yeah.
What are you worried about?
In the bag.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it with the Brazil team.
No, please don't. That would just be disrespectful to yourself, if anybody
And
else.
On that note, by the way... England has 20-1 with Bet365 to win the World Cup next summer. And yes, I am including that. The £10 will return £210, including stake. Do not listen to Jurgen Klopp, who said we should take it easy or something, didn't he?
Double agent.
No, he told the English press to stay cool.
Right, well, England are 20-1 with Bet365 to win the World Cup.
Yeah.
How about that?
Up yours, Kloppo.
Fever.
Yeah, there we are, you see. No matter what happens in the two friendly matches, we should keep our cool. And we remember this because when England beat Germany 3-2 in Germany, when Eric Dier nodded the winner last minute before an international tournament, as Luke said, this is the last thing we need.
Yeah.
And if we do, if England put in a good performance against Germany and then Brazil, or even just one of them, with a squad that is quite depleted, we'll think to ourselves, imagine what we'll be like when all the Harrys are back.
Well, even if we don't know, I think it's too late for me. I know that's going to happen. I can feel that it's going to happen.
Jim, and the thing is, Jim, if it happens... and we win one of those games, even like there's not going to be any sort of debrief from like Southgate or the player. Well, there probably will, but it'll just be them sticking their chests out for like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Going, here we go, lads.
Blood and thunder.
Yeah.
We're coming back for the game we invented.
Yeah.
Let me give you about 11 reasons why that won't happen against Brazil. Alexandro, Marcelo, Dani Alves, Thiago Silva, Casemiro, Fernandinho, Coutinho, Willian, Douglas Costa, Gabriel Jesus and Neymar.
Yeah. I think like...
Never heard of any of that.
If Brazil win the World Cup...
Yeah.
Like, David Bowie will come back to life and impeach Donald Trump and everything will go back to normal. All of the weirdness of the last few years will just be over and everything will
and
be...
And the Spice Girls will be number one. And Tony Blair will be back in charge, Jim.
We have very different ideas of
normal.
Jim used to have a Tony Blair themed email address.
I did, which was also spelt wrong because the correct one was taken.
There we go. That's an insight into Jim's world, Marcus.
Mm. Yeah, Jimbo. Well, the last time Brazil won the World Cup was 2002.
Yeah.
When those things were sort of happening, weren't they?
Yeah.
I'm just talking about sort of more kind of cosmic normality.
Oh, what you wanted to happen
sort of
rather than reversing to what we've done. Oh, okay,
not everything means going back to the 90s, mate.
It was 2002.
Yeah, but you were still living the 90s.
It was 2002. Pete, when was the last Spice Girls number one?
What would it have been? Stop right now.
Do you want me to, look it up for you?
Go on, then.
Do you all have a guess and then I'll give you
I was in a club.
Stop. Was it 2001?
I was in a club. I was in a club that played Spice Up Your Life over Halloween and my God, that is a banger.
Where was this club? Was this in Japan or in...
Right, so you want...
I reckon their last number one was about 2003.
Their last number one... you want the year or do you want to know what it was?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah, both.
Did they not release a Reformation
single? They did, but
it
didn't make number one.
Didn't make number one, right.
So, last number one. Tell me the year. We'll go year.
I'm going to go 2000.
Peter.
I'm going to go with the song Good... something with the word goodbye in it.
Well, I just want the year.
2003.
No, I've said 2003.
All right, well, I'm going in with your basket full of eggs.
I'll go 2002 then.
Yeah.
Jim Campbell, 2000.
Yeah.
Ah.
It's a song called Holler / Let Love Lead the Way. It looks like it was a double A-side, guys. So
nice.
Back in the day, eh?
Bang for your buck. And, of course, a year later, England beat Germany 5-1. A good omen all round. Peter, let's have some correspondence.
All right, mate. I've got to get the big old laptop out. You've got to give me a bit more.
Do you want me to do some Facebooks while I'm
waiting? Do some Facebooks, yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Okay.
Why have you not got that open ready?
Because it will kill the battery. This is a performance laptop.
Should have a good battery.
I've got to play Battlefield on this later.
It's got thermal paste in it. You can't be mucking about with keep leaving it on.
It is one of those proper sort of perverts gamers laptops, if you worry.
It's all angular.
It's got red light underneath the buttons. It's really satanic looking.
Pete, if I do Facebook now, I won't be able to do it looking ahead to the weekend, so can you just start?
Yeah, seriously.
I really can't start.
All right. Andrew Moynihan.
The computer that I thought was going to like go into standby, it's gone and turned itself off, hasn't it?
Andre Moynihan is here to save your bacon, Peter.
Okie dokie.
And he says, I'm looking forward to after the All Whites trashing the pants off Peru.
Ah.
We've called in backup striker Rory Fallon from the 7th Division, which we're going to talk about in a bit, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
What else? Oh, do you want one from Oliver Memories Bailey?
Of course we do.
Oliver Memories.
Friend of the Ramble par excellence. He says, I'm a bit nervous about contacting the Ramble these days. If you say something that gets up Pete's nose, he trawls through your entire internet history like a monkey hammer NSA member. Is that fair?
That is fair, but what I would say, I'm always fair, whereas Luke just abuses you for no reason.
You're always fair. Hang on, you're doing a Mario Götze right now, mate.
Always fair.
The thought of trawling through someone's internet history.
Andy Camella says, there could be players from Dorchester Town, Salford City and West Ham at New Zealand for New Zealand at the World Cup. Imagine that.
Yeah.
I've got to get past Peru first, mate.
Yeah, we are going to talk probably very briefly about New Zealand in the second half. But Peter, do we have the correspondence?
Yes, we do have the correspondence. Thank you, Marcus, for finally giving me the opportunity.
Thank you, Luke.
Thank you, Marcus.
Genuinely, thanks for that.
That's all right, mate. No worries. I'll get to spend some time finding some more now.
We got an email from, Cordy from Hillsborough, Oregon.
Again.
Oh, here we go. I simply forwarded the previous message to you so you knew what it was in response to. I didn't mean to criticise again or to be a prick.
Is this something maybe you want to think about taking into your own personal time, Pete?
Or maybe just let lie.
Well, that will be the end of it. Thank you, Jack.
Have you accepted his apology?
I've accepted his apology. Hello to Jack French. Hello, chaps. It's starting to really wind me up that my fellow Burnley fans are starting to compare Sean Dyche to God. He's done some fantastic work, but he's not Sean Dyche.
Nice.
And apparently Tony Blair's former spin doctor, speaking of the great man,
he's a big Burnley fan. Yeah,
Alistair Campbell's at St Mary's wearing a fuck Brexit wool knit jumper.
Brilliant.
So there we go. Nice. Hello to Scott. Hey guys, I just want to point you in the direction of the V League here in Vietnam. Great name for a league in Vietnam. Mm. Two games to go for most teams, and the top seven are separated by 5 points.
Oh, so the top seven separated by 5 points.
So if Than Quang Ninh beat Quang Nam this Friday, we'll have four teams on 42 with two games to go.
That is it. Sensational stuff.
And during the upcoming final two rounds, we see four games where teams from the top seven go head-to-head. The refereeing alone should be an absolute joy to watch, as Scott.
Are you going to get a stream, Pete, for that?
Scott, give us an update on what happens there, because that sounds fantastic.
Watch it yourself.
No. The V League.
It'll be very early in the morning, won't it? Just as day's dawning.
Yeah.
And he picks up all the post in his bag.
Another email?
Yep. star fruit. Rob says, hi guys, I thought I'd share with you a story about my meeting with the one and only Pele.
Okay. Oh.
A few years back, I attended a charity football dinner at a posh hotel in London where the guest of honour was Pele. I was on a table quite far away from the top table, and after a couple of beers, got egged on by work colleagues to try and get Pele to sign one of our programmes to the event. I got as far as I could before one of his army of security guards, who instantly looked like Scott Parker, watching out for Pele, stopped me in my tracks. He said, there's no chance for a signature, blah, blah, blah. He only does things for money now, doesn't he, Pele?
A like, couple of points on that. I reckon it probably was Scott Parker. He was so defensively good back then.
You're protecting the back Pele tonight.
The back Pele.
Yeah.
And secondly, I think Luke and I were at that.
We were there, yeah.
Were you there?
We didn't meet Pele either.
Come on, he goes to every footballing dinner, surely.
Yeah, he was another one.
It could be any of them.
Not in London.
He was whisked away. Know?
Cut forward, and I saw him on Carnaby Street coming out of a...
What, Pele?
You never.
I did. He wasn't strolling on Carnaby Street. I saw...
Was he moonwalking?
Are you lying? Stop lying.
No,
stop being that kid at school.
He was driving a car down the pedestrianised Carnaby Street.
He was doing some Nike, sort of not in-store, but he was like filming something. So
was he
it was
flogging
him.
His hair?
It was insane.
Come on, Pele, do keep you up. I'm 75, do keep you up.
Just let me turn... Why aren't you impressed with me turning my hair into diamonds? I don't want to do keep you up anymore.
So cut forward an hour or so. During dinner, I drop a part of the meal down my suit jacket. Quickly run to the gents to clean off the stain as best I can. As I admit defeat from the beef and gravy stain on the jacket, nature calls and I take my place at the urinal. As I do, who should wander in with three security guys but Pele himself? He goes straight to the trap next to me, which, bearing in mind no one else is in there, I thought was bad gents bogs etiquette. But this is Pele, so I'll let that slide. Mm. So I'm next to Pele, having a piss. Don't want to miss this fantastic once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to talk to one of the greatest footballers of all time, but racking my brain for what to possibly say, I eventually turn to him and say,
I would.
He says, all right, Pele.
Is that what he
says? He said. He thankfully says hello back and asks how I'm doing, to which I say, apart from spilling beef and gravy down my jacket top, I'm good. He turns and leaves. As I turned, stood behind me is the Scott Parker guy from earlier. With a straight face, he says, well, I guess I was wrong. You can't get much closer than that. Fair play. And follows Pele out.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm starting to think that is Scott Parker. Yeah. Sounds like how he behaves.
That's a great story of an encounter with one of the greatest footballers ever.
It is weird when you meet someone and someone like that, of that sort of profile. You feel like the need to ask an interesting question, and then you just blurt it out. It's like, do you remember in South Africa when I met Arsene Wenger? I just asked him if he was enjoying the World Cup, and he just went, yes.
But that's like a normal thing to say, though. Yeah, we'll get an email from Diego Maradona after hearing this, going, oh, yeah, well, he's not the best player in the world, because that's me.
I was at one of those, I think it was the PF Awards or something, and Alan Shearer stood next to me. You'd never say hello to anyone you really respect, because they'll just disappoint you. Mm. And they don't want to hear from you.
So you didn't say anything?
Didn't say anything.
I had a wee next to Brian May once.
Okay.
I had a wee next to Gary Pallister in Yarm.
Marcus, do you want to get this back on track, mate?
Commander Riker, set phases to stun.
Yeah. We're going to talk about some World Cup playoffs after this.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Beautiful young eggs. Eggs that need a mum to take care of them.
Very nice. Mm. You look a bit like Commander Riker from Star Trek, Marcus, actually. I think about it. I'll show you later.
He's the bearded
guy. He or
guy.
She looks like it.
He's the bearded sexy guy. He's not Deanna Troi, I know that.
No, right. That's true.
Who is Peter? Who is? Mm. World Cup playoffs are happening, of course, in the international break at the time of recording. We are before the Northern Ireland one, so we will probably talk about them on the show at the start of the week when that's all done and dusted. Mm. But Ireland themselves travelled to Denmark for their first leg playoff on the weekend. And the Irish haven't been to a World Cup since 2002, which was under Big Mick McCarthy.
Didn't rate him.
No.
Big Nose, Big Chip. What's his name? Big Nose, Miserable Sod. What do you call himself?
Miserable, with shite football.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, something like that. But Martin O'Neill faces off against his former Man City and Norwich City teammate, Arga Hareide, I think that's pronounced. And what I love about this was O'Neill was even Hareide's landlord when the Norwegian was at Norwich.
Nice.
Wow.
That is so Martin O'Neill, that.
It is, isn't it? Imagine facing off, how are you doing? Hey, well, how are your living arrangements?
Yeah.
Why have you got all these boards with bits of evidence stuck everywhere? He likes
bits
his crime.
String.
He likes his crime. It's a tough one for Ireland. I did. Yeah. Denmark have been decent. I mean, if you look at the Danish side, you know, Christian Eriksen is obviously the key man for them. But I suppose people tend to prefer the home leg in the second leg.
Yeah, and also they've had a good away record, haven't they? I don't think they were beaten on their travels in qualifying.
So no, they've been travelling well.
Side, but
they have been travelling well. They only conceded 6 goals in total in the group, and it was a difficult group.
Travelling light.
They were travelling light. Mm. I do fancy James McLean to get a goal away.
Yeah, Denmark, doesn't he?
Denmark gave Poland an absolute battering, 4-0. But that was when Poland had already qualified, is that right?
I'm not sure if they had or not, but either way, it was still a great win, because the Polish side looked pretty decent at the moment. But as Martin O'Neill said himself, Denmark will be the favourites for this, but that would probably suit the Irish, you would imagine. Mm. But with a team like Ireland, I mean, with them going into playoffs, you know, seldom are they going to be a seeded side. It tends to be the kind of the Italies or the Portugals or, you know, whoever else is.
Well, they're going to have to make it tough for Denmark, because Denmark have got players who can unlock them. And then Ireland's strength would be, you know, I mean, we saw them back to the wall against Wales. We saw them narrowly get past, it was Georgia, wasn't it? They got past quite narrowly. So they're going to have to approach the games in that way. But then Denmark, in the shape of Christian Eriksen particularly, have a player that can unlock them. And if he's on form, Eriksen, it'd be very hard to keep him quiet. Yeah. So they've got a tough task. But look, if you don't win your group in this, you have a tough task to get there. And we all know that. So they're not going to be in any doubt about that.
They've also got the problem where they've got 10 players on yellow cards, I think, which includes Darren Randolph, 3 of the back four that's likely to start, and James McLean. So that is...
Does that not reset?
No, it doesn't. I feel like it should.
I
know you'd probably get the issue where players are just picking up bookings to disrupt the game towards the end of the groups, but I feel like in the spirit of positivity in general, you want the best players available for those playoff games.
So they could be without a lot of players for the second leg, then. Yeah.
I was about to sing a Spice Girls song.
Go for it.
All you need is positivity.
Girls in the world, spice up your life. Girls in the world, spice up your life. Leave it all the girls, spice up your life.
Lord Bentner is in the Denmark squad after being in the international wilderness for 2 years. I like that, the international wilderness.
Yeah, I wonder what he was doing there.
I don't know.
Pete, people get sent there all the time. Pete, what's it like?
Pete lives there.
It's brilliant. I've set up an embassy.
Yeah, Bentner's back, baby.
Well, he's knocking them in. He's knocking them in, isn't he?
He's knocking them in. It's bad news for Ireland. But Ericsson, obviously, is the key man. But a player that Ireland will be very, very familiar with, you would have thought, with some of the players in there. I think the blueprint is there for the Irish as they've travelled in the group.
Yeah.
Go there, hit them on the break, defend solidly, blah-de-blah-de-blah. And hopefully, you know, still in the tie, or very much in the tie, without being disrespectful. Taking back to Dublin, great home atmosphere, all the cliches, but those cliches.
No, it's important. They've got to stay in the. They've got to stay in the tie.
Of course, but yeah. I think there's even a chance they could do a little bit more than that. You know, they could well come away with a draw.
With Ireland 5-1 to beat Denmark in Copenhagen on Saturday night, so £10 with Bet365 will return £60, including stake. There we go.
There we are, you see. So good luck to Ireland. We move on outside of Europe, and New Zealand are playing Peru. You would have to fancy Peru for this one.
Yeah.
All right.
You know what, though? I think we should get behind New Zealand, because Anthony Hudson, the New Zealand manager, was born in America, but is technically English. So,
is he?
Well, have another one over
there.
One
for the future.
Our man still firmly ensconced in the hot seat, who we'll hear from later, is very much not getting behind New Zealand, Jim.
Really?
So look out for that.
Okay.
New Zealand have recalled some outrageous players for this game.
Yeah. Rory Fallon, still in the squad at the age of 35, currently playing in England's seventh tier with Dorchester Town.
Love that.
Imagine, and then playing away in Peru for a World Cup playoff. It's sensational stuff.
I mean, you are going to need lungs for that, aren't you?
Yeah. The Southern League Premier. Dorchester.
I know.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I mean, are you playing this week? No, I'm off to Lima.
Yeah. Yeah.
To see if we can get the World Cup final.
The first leg's in Auckland, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And could they get Ryan Nelson back in there?
Oh, I don't know.
He's only 40. He's only 40.
Why not?
He's got World Cup experience, Jim. Undefeated.
Certainly.
In World Cup games.
What's his name? Winton Roofer. Or whatever. Yeah.
But Marcus, did New Zealand lose a World Cup match in 2010?
No, they didn't.
Only undefeated team in that World Cup.
Not
Ryan
even
Nelson
Spain.
Has got some experience. Only 40. I've looked him up on Google Images. He looks in great nick. And yes, I did type in 2017 to make sure it was a recent image. He looks in great nick.
Thank you for that.
Well, Chris Wood, of course, is their main threat up front.
Good player.
But is it time for the world to get to know Heron Veen's Marco Rojas, a.k.a. the Kiwi Messi?
Yeah.
He's only 26.
And it's really important to stress that he received that nickname when playing in the A-League and not in Europe.
Yeah.
Because if you watch him playing in Europe, I personally don't think he's that good.
Yeah, they call him the Messi Kiwi.
Right.
Of a night out, Jim.
Yeah.
One of Peru's leading current affairs programs estimated that this playoff was worth over $1 billion to the Peruvian economy.
Huh.
Which is quite something. It'd be their first World Cup appearance, should they go through, since 1982.
They beat Scotland in 82?
Might have done.
Might well have done.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah. Apparently, in that article as well as reading, FIFA hand out $10 million to each team who reached the tournament. I'd like to think that is in a briefcase.
Yeah.
You know, but let's leave that alone, ladies and gentlemen.
I think they beat him in 78, didn't they? Not 82.
Oh, was it 78?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's why Luke went quiet there.
Yeah.
I thought, don't worry, chaps, I'm not going to do a characteristic libel comment.
I'm always scared of dropping a... dropping an air.
Clanger.
Yeah.
So dropping a briefcase.
You don't want a lot of big-lunged, angry Peruvians, yeah.
Exactly.
At your door.
But the thing is, I wouldn't be able to run away from them, would I?
No.
when I go quiet, because I'm careful about not dropping a clanger, someone else inevitably drops one anyway. Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I was looking for Pete to save the day.
Give this clanger room. I didn't mention Nobby, and that's the main thing.
Do you fancy the Kiwis to get something then?
I don't. I think Peru.
No,
I think it's Peru's time. Well, but Peter, what about you? Are you torn because, you know, presumably you've got some Kiwi friends, because I know you like to keep international, but then you love Nobby Solano and you want to see him at the World Cup.
My sister lived in Peru for quite a long time.
In Peru?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're all out for Peru?
Yeah. She's got a Peruvian chap.
Nobby Solano?
It was not Nobby Solano, but... Yeah, let's leave that one there.
But he did play the trumpet.
He did. We like that. Yeah.
Down the phone to Bobby Robson, let's not forget.
Well, whatever happens there, we'll be happy.
Yeah, quite. I mean, Peru are missing Paulo Guerrero, who's their main man.
That's true.
He's one of those players. I love this type of player where he is like, he's like their Pele almost back home at the moment. He's like, it's just an absolute legend just in his own lifetime, where he's just sort of like a fairly functional striker elsewhere, you know, in the domestic leagues he's played in. He's clearly a very, very good player who's had a bit of fanfare, but back home he's like the absolute king. I love that. That's the sort of stuff you get in World Cups that makes it special.
Well, Solano was very much like that.
Can I bring another one into the mix for that same principle? When I was in Hungary, it would have been a long time ago, I suppose, maybe 10 years ago. Zoltán Gera was
everywhere.
Love that. Everywhere. Absolutely love that. Yeah. I think as well, because he's Guerrero's missing because he's been he failed a drugs test, and he's claiming it's due to cough medicine. Same thing Kyla Touré had, I think.
Oh. Right.
So he's sort of appealing it. But 33-year-old Jefferson Farfán might step into the breach.
I remember him being linked with Portsmouth over and over. Oh, speaking of Portsmouth, he was linked with Portsmouth over and over. I've got to get this in there because I forgot to do it. So I went to the Valley. This is a massive off-piece, but just quickly. Yeah. I went to the Valley on Tuesday to watch Charlton Portsmouth and the Checker Trade Trophy. It was awful. And it was genuinely terrible.
Yeah.
And at half-time, obviously, big Johnny Westwood was there.
Oh, yeah.
Right, you know who he is.
The bellman.
The guys who are listening, he's an absolute state. He rings a bell. He's always drunk. He's got tattoos on his face. He wears clown shoes.
But he's a mate.
Yeah. But we go way back. But listen, you're funny you say that, because what happened at half-time is we were in the away end at Charlton. I think it's the south, might be the west, I can't remember.
How many were you there?
Oh, there was only about 300 Pompey fans.
There were only three Sunderland fans that went to watch that one.
Yeah. There was 1,300 at the Valley in total. I think it would have been about 300 Pompey fans.
No, anyway, three Sunderland fans.
Yeah, but I think it was there under 21s or 23.
But apparently there were seven in total. They were saying there was three, but there was apparently seven. That makes it any better.
But Sunderland have a very good away support.
But anyway, Charlton. Half-time, you're not going to believe this, I promise this is true. Half-time at the Charlton game, in the Portsmouth end, I go around to the side of the stand to get, there's a little cafe thing there, to get a cup of tea and a I was going to get a Twix or something. And I'm standing in the queue, and this guy comes up to me and says, oh, he's a Ramble fan. Right. So I get to see everything. I was like, yeah, nice to meet you. He walks off. Another guy comes over and says he's a Ramble fan. Right? And I'm no word of a lie. He says to me, do you want to get a photo of you and John Westwood? To which I said, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
You should have done that.
You're not doing it. No,
why not? Oh, you would have to separate you and the bellman, because you know for a fact I would have cropped the shit
exactly.
out of that guy.
Exactly. When you are friends with Pete Donaldson, you cannot do that sort of thing.
Oh, that's true, yeah. That was like when Pete found a picture of me. Well, I can't play the piano, but I was sitting at a piano. I think it was in Bath, in one of the squares there. Mm. That suddenly was appearing in front of every historical photograph over the last 100 years.
Every last one of them.
I think it's fair to not want a photo taken with John Westwood.
Yeah, no. I think you should have done it just for the bants.
Yeah, there we go.
Anyway, show up in photos?
I'm very sorry about that diversion.
No. It was worthwhile. It was worthwhile. But we go back to the World Cup playoffs. Honduras are playing Australia.
Australia.
That is an intimidating place to go for Australia.
Well, yeah, actually, there's been a bit of controversy about this, isn't there? There's a show in Australia called The Project, and the host, a guy called Peter Hellier, was interviewing Tim Cahill about the game.
Yes.
And one of the things he said to him was, so you beat Syria, now you're going to the murder capital of the world. If you win this, I think you play ISIS. Hasn't gone down well in Honduras, that
Golden
bit of international
and
incident.
Rightly so.
I must clarify, when I said intimidating, I'm talking about the home fans, you know, how to make that atmosphere and so on, and in such a crucial game. Yeah, I'm not... Oh, dear.
And Honduras were at 2014, of course.
Yes.
And they gave a very poor showing of themselves, didn't they? At the bottom of their group.
They put up a fight.
They didn't win a single game, did they?
Yeah. When I say they put up a fight, though, they were quite tasty.
Yeah. Well, maybe Australia will get a taste of that.
Cahill is injured, isn't he? But he's still travelling out there on the off chance.
Oh, sorry. Press the button there. Sorry.
Oh, please. Cahill button?
Just while we're talking about Tim Cahill's professionalism and commitment to the cause.
Him getting injured, sorry.
I forget why you hate it, Tim Cahill.
Little titty.
Even because he's a 37-year-old athlete, and Pete is a 37-year-old.
I'm a 36-year-old, thank you.
Oh, yeah, okay. When you're 37, respect. April.
That makes it even worse.
Honduras are favourites for that first leg on Friday night. Their evens were bet 365 to win it. So £10 will return £20, including stake. Very tough assignment for Australia, given that they struggled so badly.
Against Syria.
Well, he just struggled in general, haven't he?
Well, yeah.
Does Tim necessarily need his ankle? He's scored so many goals with his head. Quite happily score.
Bit of spring. He's not static. But yeah, 37-year-old Tim. I mean, it's still so crucial for that Australian side.
Well, look at Syria. I mean, he ruined the party there, didn't he?
He did.
That'd be nice. Quite a nice alternative rule that you can have a 12th player who can only use his head.
England would be sorted.
Yeah.
genuinely got options in that area.
If
that was the case. But yeah, Australia, it's a case of still being the tie, which they very much could be. Take them back to Australia, of course. They're missing Hertha Berlin's Matthew Lecky, who's has a good start to the season in Germany. Suspended for one match, so they're missing a couple of their better players. So we shall see on how the Australians get on. And some interesting ones in the African qualifying. They're not playoffs, but as good as you could argue. Ivory Coast host Morocco. Morocco just need a draw to clinch qualification, but a win would send Ivory Coast to Russia, and that would be a fascinating game.
You know who's in charge of Morocco, don't you, Marcus?
It's
Big Harvey and Harvey.
It is, yeah. So I'm sort of quite torn, because Ivory Coast are one of those teams that we've enjoyed watching at the World Cup
in
recent years. And obviously we know one or two of their players. And Renard, of course, won the African Cup of Nations with them. But then the thought of seeing a topless Harvey Renard in Russia is... Oh.
There we go.
I mean, him and Putin horseback. Come on, Peter. There's a cropped image for you. Or just a crop top.
Yeah.
That would be enough for me.
I couldn't wear crop trousers, I know that. With that image
certainly
sloshing
not,
around.
Certainly not.
Nor can Mario Götze.
Yeah, right. Especially if he gets the winner again.
Yeah.
A very happy ending. But anyway, Senegal have a double header against South Africa. This is fantastic stuff. This is sort of Sunday League-esque. Their match, which was scheduled a year ago, which would have been their first encounter in their group, was cancelled. So they're playing twice. Of course, in South Africa, firstly, and then back in Senegal on the Tuesday. Friday night in South Africa on Tuesday. So South Africa, they have to win both matches to go through. So it's very much Senegal's to lose here. If they win one or draw both of the games, Senegal will go through. And Liverpool have sent their physio out there to basically check on Sadio Mane.
Right.
It's quite unprecedented. You know. Senegal
are top of their group, aren't they? South Africa are bottom. So it's probably...
But South Africa, if they win both games,
that's
then
right. It's a weird situation where if they win both, they can go from bottom to top.
Yeah, I mean, it's a four-team group.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, but depending on because they've got Cape Verde and Burkina Faso in there.
Yeah, Cape Verde have got Burkina. It would be an unlikely set of results, even if possible, for Cape Verde or Burkina Faso to go through.
Right. Okay.
But really, it's Senegal's. I mean, if Senegal don't go through, my goodness.
Yeah,
that's a terrible precedent to set, though, isn't it? Sending out your physio, is that allowed?
Well, they spoke to Senegal, and if they agree...
But I think the reason for that is because the comments that were coming out the Senegal camp were given that Sadio Mane is like a £50 million asset or whatever he is.
Yeah.
Oh, we're playing him anyway.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't force an individual to play, but I guess it's a bit unfair for Mane being caught between wanting to be passionate for his country and wanting to send him to a World Cup.
Of course.
Yet at the same time, you know, his bread and butter is Liverpool, and he's probably got a bit of an injury, and so I guess it's probably best for everyone if they go out there.
Yeah, he did play against West Ham.
Yeah, no.
In the recent game, so he is.
But I mean, anyone could have played against West Ham.
Yeah, that's true enough. Yeah, even Tim Cahill.
Yeah,
Peter
with one ankle.
So there we are. So some intriguing games, and more to chat about, of course, at the start of next week when some of those will have concluded, and so on and so forth. But Luke, what is our best bet with Bet365?
Well, Steve Durr is still in the hot seat after a victorious week last week.
Dun, dun, dun.
There we go. Can you get a jingle for him? Get a jingle out there for him.
You still might get slapped even though you're a woman.
That's not a jingle. The jingle he would have wanted.
Sorry.
Sorry about that, Steve. He says the following. He says, "Hi guys, the hot seat's temperature was truly felt by me this Sunday. Mostly it was coming from the death stares I received from my wife as I refreshed my phone every 2 minutes while sitting in church waiting for that third City goal. When it came in, I turned my phone screen to my wife and she smirked and said, 'Damn.' I thought her smile meant I was out of the woods. I was very, very wrong. Upon leaving church, she reprimanded me and the entire Football Ramble for making her swear during church." So take that on the chin, you lot.
Yeah.
"Needless to say, I would not be going for a Sunday game this weekend. My best bet of the week with Bet365 is for Peru to lead at halftime and win at full-time versus New Zealand in the first leg of their playoff at 15-8. Yours truly, Dersey." So
Dersey.
Peru to be winning at halftime and full-time in the halftime full-time market is indeed 15-8 with Bet365. So £50 will return £143.75, including stake, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. And for more information, go to gambleaware.co.uk. Good luck, Steve.
Lovely.
Good luck, Steve.
If he gets
indeed.
This one in, the tricky international week, he's on for a hat trick.
Yeah. And he'll have earned his stripes.
I mean, they're going to have to record him a special message. and send it to him or something.
Is that what we do?
Well, I don't know. It's never happened before.
Yeah. Okay. So well, maybe we won't. We're not promising that.
It might rip a hole in the space-time continuum. Yeah, there we go. That's the last thing you want. Don't want you there, Peter.
Damn. You allowed in churches? Yeah.
Yes.
Came to mind once.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. That's what I was referring to after, you know.
I had a mince pie.
Oh, he's not allowed back.
Your church has a lot of plasma screens. I was very enthralled by the consumer electronics in there.
Yeah, well, they heard that you were coming.
If there are any burglars listening, just saying.
There's something for everyone at church.
Indeed. Do we have any more looking aheads to the weekend?
Yeah, I've managed to cobble a few more together, Pete. Again, you're welcome.
What do you mean? Have we not abused these people enough?
Matthew Bremner says, looking forward to Pete having another go at a listener that looks at him funny.
I'm not like the bad lad, like the lad who can't fight but seems to really want to in a pub.
Hang on a minute.
What?
If the cat fits. Stephen McKenzie says, I'm looking forward to everything being over so we can get back to the real football next week.
How dare you?
Now, I've looked up Stephen's Facebook page and he's Scottish, so maybe that explains that.
Are you careful, you're falling into a peat rabbit hole there, aren't you? Looking around other people's internet history.
I dug that rabbit hole.
I just click one button.
All right.
I'm not doing the proper.
That's how it starts.
I'm not doing the proper dark web stuff that Pete's doing. And I'll finish off with this one from William Egan. It says, it's not quite looking forward to the weekend, but my highlight of last weekend was getting a phone call from my dad saying he heard me getting a shout out on the show.
Oh.
I've never heard him sound so proud. The Football Ramble was bringing families together. He says,
great.
To be fair, I'm also looking forward to the Premier League coming back. You've ruined it there, William.
Yeah.
I've been through your dad's internet history. Here are some sightseeing visits.
No. Yeah.
Right, no, we want to bring families together, not bring them apart.
Acast Plus.
Yeah, thank
you. $1.99 a month.
Gives you access to all your free...
all your dad's internet browsers.
And free rambles and a special every month for $1.99. What value?
What's his dad's name?
Will you let me do the sale, please?
Sorry, brother. Sorry, sorry.
He doesn't include his dad's name.
That's a shame.
His dad's probably got a proper job and everything.
He probably just calls him dad.
Yeah.
He might not know his name. I don't know mine.
Well, we could have given his dad a shout out.
Is it Dad Egan, his name?
Mr. Egan.
Yeah.
Let's presume his name's Ian.
Okay.
Ian Egan.
Yeah, that sounds a bit weird.
It does.
Ian Egan.
That's all from the Facebook comments this week.
There we are. Lovely old job. Thank you very much for listening to the preview show sponsored by Bet365. It's had a pleasure to have you with us. Yes, Luke.
I just wanted to say one thing that would be really helpful for us here at the Football Ramble, it's something we don't say enough, and I just remembered, is to make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you get your pods. Don't just download it. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss an episode. That's really important for us. And also, leave a nice positive review on iTunes because that really helps us as well.
Lie if you have to.
And we'd really appreciate it. Definitely lie.
Yeah.
Say it's good.
If you want to describe what my body might look like without any clothes,
well, no, don't
free.
Do that.
No.
That's fine.
No,
as long as you give it five stars, I don't care.
Yeah, your body won't be getting five stars, will it?
It's got
but again, lie.
One star.
Yeah. But do that. Yeah, leave us a review on iTunes. Subscribe to us wherever you get your pods because we'd really appreciate it.
We would, very much so. There we are. International break, here we come. Thank you very much, Luke.
Thank you.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
I got it wrong there, didn't I? Say goodbye, Petey.
International.
Thank you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.